Okay. Good evening. Again, it is a schus, a privilege for me to speak in Mayan Yisrael. Thank you for inviting me. The fact that I'm invited the second time, it means that the first time, at least, the organizer liked it. I hope it will continue. And let's see how the month of Tevet, even though I speak about the month of Tevet at the end of the month, thank God, not next week, after Rosh Chodesh Benishin, I speak still before Rosh Chodesh Benishin, I'm allowed to refer to the beginning of the month, which is actually Chanukah. As I told you last time, this very year, I tried to compare every Chodesh to one of the Sefer of Ksuvim. Last month, the month of Kislev, the Sefer of Iov, Job, was parallel to the month of Kislev. And we answered why. I hope I did answer why. This very month, the month of Teves, we tried to compare it to Shir HaShirim. And we'll see the aspiration of what is altogether Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is Sefer, that was written by Shlomo HaMelech, and it is telling us about the love of the United of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us and us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's all about. That affection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has towards us and we have towards him, so to speak, is also, in my mind, would lead us to think, due to the fact that each person is created b'tzalmo b'dmuiso, dmus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzelem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have some kind of a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in us. If that's the case, we have to have something, a tshuka, a love to each person. That's the thought that I had at the beginning of Shir HaShirim. But what does it mean? Let's understand. I call this month a month of aspiration and ambition. Month of Teves? If we know what happened in this very month, on the eighth day, Talmai, the King Talmai, translated the Torah to Greek. Shulchan Aruch, Siman Taf Kuf Pei, says that because of that, at the time they decided it's a tiniest day. On the ninth day, Ezra Sofer, who could be, even like Moshe Rabbeinu, even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll see it later on, died. And therefore, also a tiniest. We all know about Asor B'Teves. Asor B'Teves is the day that they penetrated into Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the Churban started, actually. So it's a very, very dark day. So much dark that the Zohar calls it Yomim Koshim L'Yisrael. Shem Yishmur says that's the month of Esav, mind you. The month of Esav. How is it possible that the first 2 days of the month of Teves are days of Chanukah? Chanukah is light. Chanukah is bright. Chanukah is beautiful. Even the Goyim adopted, so to speak, Chanukah, if you want to think. I am not going to clearly talk about that, but we understand. Everybody loves Chanukah. Even the non-frum Jews, well, if they celebrate something, they don't keep Yom Kippur, maybe Yom Kippur, maybe Rosh Hashanah, no Shavuos, no Sukkot. Chanukah, they all keep. Chanukah is a great day for us. So fast after day Aleph, day Bet, 8, 9, and 10 is Yemei Choshech. What happened? How is it possible that we went me Loshen of the Gemore, Meigra Rama Lebira Amikta, from the height of the height on the first 2 days, which is Chanukah, into such bad, dark, terrible day? Sfasemes, and we'll see all inside in a minute, Sfasemes says, actually the month of Teves is bad, but because there is also Atovas Aneiros, the fact that we are preparing the lights, the first 2 days, it covers up the months. Does it cover up the months? It's dark. People explain that Teves is so bad, it's rainy. Most of the 24 hours is dark. Really, if you think about it, it's a dark day. How is it possible? And I had a notion, and I want to build it together with you. I am not going to give a lecture. I would like to interact with you. That's the way I talk. So whoever wasn't here last time or was not participating in my shiurim will understand. I expect you to ask questions, to disagree with me, which is the best, and maybe we'll come up with some kind of a solution. But the real solution is, when I thought about it, I'll say to you right then and there. One, two, Aleph and Bet, great days. Seven, oh, actually eight, nine, and ten, terrible days, dark. What happened to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh day? What happened then? How is it possible? I asked the question before. But what happened to those days? And this is what our problem is as a Jew. This is our problem as a person. And this is a problem as a nation. And maybe we'll see it right then and there. Hanukkah is a Yontev that is different than the Hanukkah in Beis HaMikdash, the menorah in Beis HaMikdash. The Lubavitcher Rebbe points out, and it's more appropriate than this place to speak about what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, he said that Hanukkah is a very interesting Yontev. We do it because of the menorah, the menorah in Beis HaMikdash. The menorah in Beis HaMikdash was lit during the day. We are lighting the menorah b'nashmoshes. But moreover, the menorah in Beis HaMikdash, the amount of candles that were in the first day, second day, third day, and the 50th day were the same amount of candles. We in Hanukkah, like one, second day two, three, Moisiv Oilech. Why? What does Moisiv Oilech telling us? Telling us something that was not at the time of the Mikdash. At the time of the Mikdash, Jews, or especially before even the Mikdash, the time of the Midbar, Jews had it very good. It was a Mishkan, and Ruchnias was great. Gashmius was even greater. If you think about it, they didn't have to press the clothing. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to cook. They had the Anon above them, the cloud above them, and a near covered. Jews were so well-to-do. And what do we have today? Just the opposite. But it shows us something, that when we have Ruchnias, we have Gashmias. When we have Gashmias, we have Ruchnias. Spirituality, and I would call it the physical, are going hand in hand. If we are doing well in life, spiritually, we might be doing well also in the non-spiritual way. And let's find out if that's the case. That's what the Rebbe said. And therefore, I think that those 6 days, that what we missed by not doing something for those 6 days. 6 days mean the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh of Teves. This is our problem. If we would have known, and I'll tell you the hint, if we would have known to be like the first and second day, Moisiv Ve'oilech, on those days, we probably wouldn't have the dark days. The reason why we have dark days later on, because we are not Moisiv Ve'oilech. We are satisfied, we are happy, we are content, That's the right word, maybe. We can be content. We need to aspire. We need to have ambition. And let's see now, I summed it up for you as an introduction, what is the month of Teves. Let's see it right now inside. The month of Teves, as I told you, is Yorud, is bad, and I read you what Pri Tzodek says on reference number 9. I'm sorry. It's actually reference number 10. The Zohar says, "Vatitzpeneu shloisha yerochim, tlat yochen dedina kashya, umayniu tamuz av teves." The month of Teves is a very hard month. Shemishmuel says, "Du miyochin de Esav." This is the month that represents Esav. I want to show you that the old month of Teves will prove that we really need to inspire, to aspire, and we'll find out why. And therefore, we'll understand why the month of Teves represents Shevet Dan. We will find out that month of Teves, the letter of the month of Teves is the letter Ein. What does Ein mean? One of the letters, there are 12 letters that represent every month. Why the letter I? And let's see it right then and there. There's a posuk in reference number 20. Posuk in Mishle, Tesvav. Orach Chaim lemala lemaskil, leman su mesheol mata. Translation, I'll translate it. I don't know if I translated it well. I should have bought the English translation in the art school. Orach Chaim, lemala ma'askil. A person has to choose the way to go up. Lemaskil, to the smart man. Why? Leman su mesheol mata. Because if he doesn't go up, if he doesn't aspire to go up, he automatically goes down. Very good. Let's see the Vilna Gaon, how he explains it. The Vilna Gaon says, in reference number 21, Adam nikra oilech. The Baal HaTanya in Torah Or and the Rashab says there's a difference between a human being and a malach. A malach, malachim omdim. Malachim don't move. Human beings are moving. You can't stand still. If you stand still, you actually go down. Malochim, there's a status, the same status. For us, we need to go. So says the Vilna Gaon. Adam nikra oilech, shetzorich leilech tamid, he has to go all the time, medarga ledarga, from one step to another. V'im lo yale lemala, if he doesn't go up, exactly what you said. I saw it right away with your finger. You showed it. Ya yered lemata mata. Ki bilti efshar sheyamod bedarka chada. A human being cannot stand still. Vezeu orach haim lemala vechulu leman. Kedei shelo yered lemata sheola. Umachmata orach haim yesu mesheol. If he is going to follow a step up, he will not go down. If he stands still, oy vavoy, he automatically goes down. And let me tell you, I can right now sum up the old months of Teves very easily. I will go to the detail in a minute. The first 2 days, what did we do? We lit the seventh candle. It was more than the day before, which was only 6, and we are lighting the next day the 8th candle. We were moisi ve'oilech. What did we do, so to speak, on the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th? What did we do on the 3rd day of Teves, and the 4th day, and the 5th day, and the 6th day? You know what we did? Nothing. We went down. We didn't aspire to go up. It's not the candle. The candle is a symbol. Because if you look at the candle, in Beis HaMikdash, they were always equal. At the time when we lived that kind of life, a spiritual life, at the time of before Beis HaMikdash, at the time of the Mishkan, we lived me'al ha'teva. And that's why, by the way, the Meraglim did not want to go to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't say, I don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael because I didn't like Eretz Yisrael. They liked what they saw. That was the problem with the Meraglim at the time. In essence, we did not use our willpower. We didn't aspire. We didn't have any ambition. We didn't have ambition for 6 days. And what happened? The symbol is, we translated the Torah to Greek. Ezra Sofer died, and Yerushalayim was penetrated, and that's enough. Then later started the Churban. Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with Rotzen. Rotzen is a wish. Is a Rotzen also an aspiration, or Rotzen is an ambition? Potech et yadecha, umasbia lechol chai rotzen. Rotzen is something that I have within me. You know how you say aspiration or ambition in Hebrew? Sheifa. Lishof. There's another term on sheifa. What is, if somebody speaks Hebrew, what is lishof? Lishof avir. To breathe. Where do you breathe from? From the outside. You lishof avir, lo ninshom avir. To bring the outside to you. So there is a difference between eratzon and sheifa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in every person ratzon. Potech et yadecha umasbia lechol chai ratzon. But it doesn't, so to speak, enforces you the sheifa. The sheifa you have to create on yourself to get it from the outside. Do you see the difference between sheifa and ratzon? Ambition and willingness, ratzon. Is that the willingness? Willpower? Willpower and sheifa are two different. Willpower is something that I have inside me. How do I create the sheifa? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara et ha'adam, if you look at Michtav Meliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, שברצונו יוכל לפעול גדולות. Why? שהרי בצלם אלוקים עשה את האדם. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu בצלם אלוקים ברא את האדם, as well as HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Rotzen, we have a Rotzen, because he created us. But שאיפה, the posuk is, I found in Eov a posuk, כעבד ישף צל, Tzel is a shadow. It comes from the outside. It's not something that is inside you. So you need a little bit to do more to get a shadow next to you. If you want a shadow, in the middle of the day, there's no shadow. How do you have a shadow following you? You have to create it, somehow, so to speak. It is, again, an external power. It's not an internal power like the Rotzen. If that's correct, I would like to say one more thing before I go further. Ratzon? That's true. What it is, ratzon is the inner power. That's where you get to the sheifa. But I think there's even more. Pirkei Avos says, Ishtadel Yos Ish. You need to be a person. Ishtadel. Ishtadlus. Do an Ishtadlus. I'm doing Ishtadlus, I'm davening well. I'm doing Ishtadlus, I'm working hard. What does it mean? What does the word Ishtadl mean? I found the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos It is mind-boggling. I'll share it with you before we go further. Page number 33. Reference number 33. Pirkei Avos says, "B'mokum she'ein anoshim, ishtadel liot ish." We all know, you know, you come to a place, you really need to behave yourself. You have to be a mensch. Is that what it means? You have to be a mensch? Says the Rambam. Vinyan, the Rambam is reference number 34. Vinyan ishtadel argel nafshecha umeshor ota liknot amalot. Get used, become, let it become something part of you. But wait. Shilanducha, eve ata melamed et atzmecha, teach yourself how to do it on and on and on. Not one time, two times, three times, till you get used to it. V'targum, however, he brings the targum. What does v'ishtadel? In the posuk, when Yaakov Avinu was fighting the Malach, you fighting the Malach Samael, the Sotan. You remember when he wanted to change his name from Yaakov to Israel? Says the posuk says, "Va'yavek ish imo." You have to fight. Va'yavek ish imo. Says the Targum, "Vishtadel gavre ime." How do you aspire? How do you have ambition? How do you create a willpower? By fighting, struggling. You have some other words? Vayavek ishimo. How would you say vayavek? That's the only way. Sitting still and say, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you no. Vayavek. You have to fight. You have to fight the Yetzer or Samael. But you have to fight even if you want something. You might not succeed, but at least you fight. If you fight, you have a, so to speak, guarantee that you succeeded. Because you've done exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to aspire. Not necessarily a success materialistically or spiritually. But I will tell you a story from the Pnei Menachem. Pnei Menachem was the Ger Rebbe. Till 7 years ago, he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Sfasemes before he was a Rebbe. And one time, the Tolner Rebbe, who was a Mashgiach in the Yeshiva in Sfasemes, told him, came a boy to the Tolner Rebbe, he wasn't at that time Tolner Rebbe, he was just a Mashgiach, and he tells him, "I would like to meet with you, with the Rosh Yeshiva. You need to come with me, and I want to meet Rosh Yeshiva by yourself, with you. Three of us to sit together. You can go yourself." "No, I want you to go with me." He called the Pnei Menachem, and he told him, "Can we set an appointment?" "Yes, we set an appointment." They set an appointment, and he goes to the Pnei Menachem, and he says to him, "I wanted the Mashgiach to hear what I say. I'm trying so hard to learn. I'm sitting 24 hours and I chapnish, ich bin a bock. I don't catch anything. I don't understand." And he started to cry. Cry with tears. Goes to Pnei Menachem back to him and looks at him and he started to cry. "You know, I am the son of the Imre Emes and my mother is so and so from another dynasty. They say I have a good cop. I have a great mind. In one time I look at it, I catch everything. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. I am jealous at you. You have to work so hard. Look at how much payas you will get later on from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even now, you work hard one, two, three, four times. At the end you get it. And look at me. So easy. I'm bored, so to speak." And he was crying. The Tolner Rebbe told me, "This very man is a dayan today in Eretz Yisrael. He's a dayan. He's a judge." How? He was fighting. He was struggling. He realized that's the only way to get somewhere, the only way to aspire. If you don't, sometimes you're not successful. But you didn't aspire, you're definitely not. I'll tell you a story from the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, the story is brought here and on page number 3, reference number 39. Chofetz Chaim used to say, "Chayal she'eno shoef liot aluf," a soldier that doesn't aspire to be a general or the chief of staff is not a soldier. A yeshiva bocher who is not inspired to be a rosh yeshiva is not even a yeshiva bocher. Napoleon saw a guy and asked him, "What do you want to be?" "So I'm happy what I am." "Get out of the army. I don't want you to be a soldier in my army because you will not succeed." The other one who told him, "I want to be a general," him, he kept. Somebody who lives in a very simple life and likes it and doesn't want to aspire, the Saba Mikelem, Rav Simcha Zissel said, "Late me poshut, blight me poshut." You stay the same. Life, I don't want to turn the life is boring. Who says nothing wrong with boring? Today is so much around. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you in the world to correct the world, to fix the world, to fix yourself. Are you? Are we? Without aspiration, we're not. We think that mi sheyesh lo mone rotze matayim. It's a Gemara, Gemara ba'Basra. What does it mean? If I have $100, so I'm not happy. Because then I want two. When I have two, I want four. So, Rav Shragi Grossbart was the Mashgiach in Ponovitch Yeshiva, says, on reference number 39, that mi sheyesh lo mone rotze matayim is not only, and many of you know Rav Shragi, knew Rav Shragi, it's not only money. We think it's money. Money is a symbol. But even in the spiritual life, if you know the Gemara, if you know Masechet Baba Kama, or if you know Mishnayos, or if you know a Torah, you don't know Tanakh, and if you don't know Tanakh, you don't know that Sefer, you're missing something. You feel emptiness. Michtav Meliyahu calls it, he doesn't say anything else, but aspiration is hunger. You don't realize that you're missing something. The only way to get something is to aspire. We understand you don't have bread, you can eat cake. Everybody knew what Marie Antoinette said. Don't have bread, eat cake. Pardon? Brioche, okay. Tu parles français, I don't speak French well. Okay, but that's what she said. If you don't have this, you can have that. You don't have a lot of water, you can have a little bit of water. But if you don't have air, you're missing it all. Sheifa, it's so fit. The language of Loshon HaKodesh, it's so fit. Sheifa, you shoef avir. You breathe air. You need air. Without air, no chance for you to live. So, I think it's Michtam Eliyahu says, without that, you're completely out. You're dead. So not only that you stay still, and you stay, okay, content. You can't be content, because if you are content, you're nowhere, because you are dead. Lo amesim ye alleluia. You want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will praise you. That's what Shir HaShirim is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will praise you if you do what He wants you to do. And what does He want you to do? To aspire. And I'll show it to you. As a matter of fact, I have Rabbi Yerucham said something so interesting. On page number 35, how do we need to know ourselves? On reference number 35. אוי לו לאדם שאינו מכיר ליקויי נפשו. It's bad that a person doesn't know how bad he is. So he doesn't realize. איני יודע מה עליו לתקן. He doesn't know what he has to do. אבל אוי ואבוי לו לאדם שאינו מכיר מעלותיו. The problem is with me, I'll speak about myself, I don't know my qualities. I know what I'm not good at, but I don't know what I'm good at. If I don't know what I'm good at, I cannot aspire. Remember, I'll show you through history, of our history, some failures, some non-failures. But all of our leaders, our forefathers, were aspiring. And that's the reason they became our forefathers. They became our leader. They knew what they're good at, and they knew what they're not good at. But they learn from what they do or what they don't do. Let's take page number 4. I just want to remember that Rabbi Sol Salanter used to say that all his life he wanted to be like the Vilna Gaon. And therefore, he could have ended up like Rabbi Sol Salanter. So, we always have to look up and say, oh, I would like to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. I would like to be like whoever you want to look up to. And then maybe you be yourself. Because we all know the story about Reb Zusche. Reb Zusche one time wanted to correct the whole world. He started and he says, I can't correct the whole world. I'm just Reb Zusche. So I'm going to correct my city. He tried to do that. He wasn't successful. So he tried to his community. He wasn't successful then. Tried to correct his family. And then he wasn't successful. So you know what? My job in life is to correct myself. But how do I correct myself? I look at my brother. Zusche and his brother were special. They were two special guys. But look at the Baal Shem Tov. Look at somebody you love, your Rebbe. Somebody that you can say, oh, from him I can learn. Take a personality and say, I would like to aspire to be him. And maybe by aspiring to be him, I will be myself. And let's see how our forefathers, our leaders, did the same thing. In page number 4, Avraham Avinu, in reference number 47, we all know what Avraham did. Avraham was, so to speak, discovered Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what did he want to do? A nefesh et asher asu becharan. He was megayer anoshim, and Sarai was megayeres anoshim. That's the posuk. Ves a nefesh asher osu becharan. Says Rashi, Avraham megayer anashim, ושרי מגרס אנושים. I want to ask you a question. How many people were there? What do you imagine? Avraham? 1,000 people? 2,000 people? Let's say 1,000 people, just for the sake of it. 1,000 men, 1,000 women. It was another generation, Yitzchak, and there's a posuk that Yitzchak did the same thing. Yaakov did the same thing. Guess what? When that family went out of Mitzrayim, how many Jews were there? 69, 70, right? Because of the daughter, there was also 70. Otherwise, where are all Megayah? There are Noshim and Noshim. What happened? Megayah and Noshim. He did it. They all died. And what happened? He probably tried. He was aspiring to do it. Did he? We don't have any reference that they were staying, do we? Nobody knows. I'm saying they weren't there, but you know what? He got credit for that aspiration. He got credit for that ambition. In no place in the Ksuvim it says that were more than the 70 that went out. There were no more. Why? He was Ish Chesed. He gave them so much. He gave the Jew, the not only his family, everybody. That he was the beginning of all Yiddishkeit. Disappeared. I'll take you to to Yaakov. Vayachlom Yosef. What kind of a dream Yaakov had? He had a letter. Says Rav Shimshon of Hirsch, the letter never stands still. The letter is always going up. You were thinking, you look at the Loshen, he says, and reference number 52, כלל החיים עלי אדמות, כולל איפה את חיי האדם, גם את חייו הוא, מטרתם אינה במישור. A letter, by virtue of saying the word letter, it goes up. It's a dream. It's a dream of life. Life is only when it goes up. It doesn't stay. So Yaakov was always dreaming and aspiring. So much so that the Sfasemis says, Yaakov's name was Yaakov. Yaakov is Melashon Akev, hill. What was his real name? Israel, later on. Israel is Rosh, is the head. So, again, the Malach gave him the new name of Israel. It started with Ekev, Yaakov, with a hill, with a bottom. And he looked up. Can you imagine if all the children at the school will look up to a leader and say, how do I become better? The only problem is they look at the eighth grade and say, how do I get to the eighth grade to finish school? They're not, that's the problem with the kids. But we are not teaching them to aspire to the right thing sometimes. At least I'm not teaching them to aspire. I know what I was taught the same way. It's just, if you look at the Loshen of Yaakov, the Das Torah tells us, Yaakov was Ish Tam Yoshev O'alim. So, the term of Yaakov, he was Ishtam, he was a simple man, sitting in the tent. Did he say, well, he was learning, it was a Talmid Chochem, he was not a Talmid Chochem. What? Nothing was mentioned about Yaakov, about his quality. Only Ishtam Yoshev O'alim. If you look at the Targum there, the Targum calls it Tova Ulpan. He was demanding learning. That was his quality. He was a mevakesh. He was a demander. He was a requester. He asked for more. Yaakov was the same as Avram. I'm trying to get more. I'm trying to breathe. Without that, whether it's in the business life, whether it's in the spiritual life, whether it's in the family life, whether it's with children, whether with your spouse, whether with your parents, you have to aspire more. And we, as parents, have a responsibility to teach our kids. Look at me, but look at above me. My father, my grandfather, or my leader, look how he is. You can be the same. Are we teaching that then? Are we telling that to our kids? Are we telling it to ourselves? Even at my age, do I talk like this? Do I talk to 20 years ago? No. I need to aspire more. You can see through history that that's what happened. Yaakov was aspiring. Yaakov came wanted so much to marry his wife. What did he do? He took the stones. Well, impossible to move them, so to speak. But he did. Why? Because he wanted. Why? Because he had aspired to do something. If you aspire, you are successful. And maybe, I would like to say, and I'm not sure about that, but a thought that I had. Yaakov was a man with aspiration. Esav was asui, asu. Ein samech vav is made already. He was given retzonot. He was given already the willpower. Because there's no difference between them. He was mechabed his father. Well, there he did something. But it was only with, the willpower. He didn't do anything more than the basic. Ishmael maybe was a pere odom. He didn't even have the retzonot. So, I'm not sure. That's a theory that I'm building in my mind, that Yaakov had sheifot, retzonot as well. Esav had retzonot. And Shmuel was a pere odom. He was like a chamor, says the Sforno. He didn't even have that. If he didn't have that, that's why he didn't have any aspiration. That's why he was loose. He could do whatever he wants. And we see our cousins, how they behave today. Kill everybody. They don't care about anyone. Because they don't have anything within themselves. They're periodom. Where did the periodom come from? He doesn't have anything that resembles from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's not even the Dmus Odom. He's not Tselem Elokim. And maybe we understand why the months of Tevet represented, those 6 days represented. The same thing about Dan, Shevet Dan. Shevet Dan is the Shevet that is the Shevet of that month. Shevet Dan, he was the Chalutz, or was the Me'asef of Am Yisrael. He was at the end of the Shvotim, he was carrying all the shvot, all those people who were left at the end. And Yaakov said that he could be a Mashiach. He thought Shimshon was from Shevet Dan, who would be the Mashiach. Lishuotcha kiviti Hashem. On the other hand, he had some fault too. Micha Novi was from him. So there was a mixture with him. He did not know how to act. He had mixture whether to be the Mashiach on one hand side, or to be Yod, like Tevet. Which one is first? Which one is the important part? And maybe that's the Inyan of Ein, Chodesh Ein. There is a difference between Ein, which is Oneg. Oneg is a pleasure. Ein Nun Gimel. Onega, which is a blemish. Nega, affliction. What is the difference between? Affliction is bad. Oneg is a pleasure, is good. How is it possible? Depends where you put the ein, the letter ein. If you put the letter ein, if you have ein tova, it's okay, it's an oneg. But if you put it somewhere in the middle and you don't pay attention, it could be ein ra'ah. It's nega. So the month of Teves is ambivalent. What do we do? What kind of ayin do we have? Is it ayin tova or is it ayin ra? And maybe I will finish with the Gemara in Brochus Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is telling us a story that Rav Ami said bye-bye to the Rabbonim. He came. Ave Mifter Rav Ami de Rabbonon. I think I have it here. Yeah, it's on page number 6. Ki ave Mifter Rabbonon me Rav Ami v'amrum le per Rav Chanina. When they said bye bye to each other and they left, Amrulei. So Rabbonon told Rav Ami, Amrulei Achi. They told him that. Olamcha tireh bechayecha. you should see your world in your life. V'achritcha l'chayei ha'olam haba. And you should be at the end in olam haba. V'tikvatcha l'dorei dorim. And you should have hopes to be in the future. Everybody wonders, what does it mean? Olamcha tireh b'chayecha. You should see your world in your life. What does it mean? Let me tell you. Beautiful pshat. It's not mine. Olam is also melashon e'elem, something hidden. A human being, and that's a lot of research have done about it, a human being is using probably 5 up to 8% of his capacity in his mind. We all have potential to use 100%. Guys, how much we use? 5%, 6%. The geniuses, the Einsteins of the world, use 9%. 100%? Use only 9%? Yes. Our potential is 100%. We use only 6 or 7. Says Rav Ami, or say Rabbono to Rav Ami, Olamcha, that hidden part, the 91%, the hidden part, tireh b'chayecha, see it in your own life. You can see it here. If you see it, this is the best blessing I can give you. Without this aspiration, ambition, willpower, fighting, whatever we called it before, you have no way to get your potential. Your potential has to be started with HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you the rotzen, and you add the sheifa that he also has given you, but he has given you the choice. Take it. Grab it. See yourself, because you can be better. You can be in 1 minute better if you believe in yourself. If you don't look at your qualities, you won't see it. You have an opportunity. Our forefathers, even Avraham, even Yitzchak, even Yaakov, even Ezra Sofer. Ezra Sofer could have been greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. What was his problem? He came and built Beis Hamikdash Hasheni. But you know what? You know who he brought along with? Not the Mechubodim Sheba'am. He brought those who were mixed marriages. He didn't take the right, the elite. He says, okay, I'll have some Jews there. He was correct to a point. But you can't build a nation like that. He didn't aspire to get the best people. Maybe he aspired, but he didn't carry it out. And that was Ezra's whole problem. And that's why, by the way, the Shulchan Aruch in Tafkuf Pei, when he says, on the 9th day, we are fasting, but lo noda lemi, I don't know why we are fasting. Says the Taz, Tmeya Gdoila, I don't understand what he's talking about. You know why we're fasting? Because Ezra Sofer died. Probably the Shulchan Aruch held for Ezra Sofer by himself, I would fast. Because he had a problem. He didn't carry out the ambition to a full degree. He tried, yes. For that we are fasting. But I cannot pronounce his name right then and there. And that's why Ezra Sofer, Tmiya Gdoila, the Taz says, he doesn't know. It says in the Sliches. That's what the Taz says. You know why? He didn't want to mention it. So Ezra, Sofer, Yaakov, all of them had aspiration. If we carry out and we have the aspiration for our future, we will be successful, and hopefully our kids will carry on the same thing. Thank you.